Hi, my name is Mike, and I am a believer who struggles with drugs and alcohol.
Hi, Mike.
So I just want to say thank you. I'm very humbled and honored to be able to share my story with you guys today. So I'm going to start. Hi, my name is Mike. I am a Christian who has and still could struggle with drugs and alcohol if I do not do everything that works. By the grace of God and a lot of hard work, I have 4,104 days clean, praise God, which equals 11 years, 3 months, and 6 days. The reason why I check in with days is because in the beginning I counted hours. My story starts when I was 5 years old. The reason why I start so young is that was when my character defects began. I was born in New York, Queens, one of 4 children. I have an older sister, Diane, a younger sister, Karen, and an older brother named Billy. I will speak about Billy. Because this is the beginning that started my journey in feeling neglected. Billy was born with cerebral palsy. He couldn't dress, feed, or do anything for himself. Billy needed a lot of special attention, especially from my mom. I got very little to zero special time with my mom, so I found ways to get mom's attention, even if it was mostly negative. For an example, my mom kept a coffee can next to the bed so my brother could pee in it during the night. So I would pee in the can before bed so that my mom would chase me around until I jumped into bed. One night that she was chasing me, my mom leaped at me and landed on the can and sliced her foot open, and she had to get 30-something stitches. Also, my brother Billy couldn't tie his shoes, so I wouldn't tie my shoes so that my mom would. Oh, and he couldn't eat mashed potatoes without getting sick, so neither could I. I still can't eat mashed potatoes to this day. Moving forward a little bit, my mom loved the Lord with all her heart. She took us to church every week. My mom and I would go to church by ourselves, and then we would go to this lady house and play cards. It's one of my only real fond memories of my mom. My dad, however, did not believe in Jesus and would not go to church and would cuss God's name and make my mom cry, and she would drop to her knees and pray right there. My dad was an alcoholic with a lot of other issues, including being physically and verbally abusive. For an example, my dad thought I was lying to him once about ditching school. And he hit me hard enough to knock me across the room. I landed in the closet and was knocked out. When I woke up, my mom asked me, why did I lie to my dad? And she showed me the papers of me missing the days, but most of them were all Easter vacation. I had only missed one day, and I told my dad, I go, I only ditched one day, and that's when he hit me because I was lying. I was told from a very young age that I better get used to using my back. It was the only way I was going to make any money. He called me stupid along with a couple of other choice words. My dad had dropped out of school in 6th grade so he could take care of his mom and his sister. My grandfather was physically abusive and also an alcoholic. My dad told me once that he had to physically stop his dad from hitting his mom and his sister, and that was the last time he had come home. So there was much more about my dad, but I don't need to get into all that. I will mention anger. Go figure. So now I'm 12 years old, and my mom gets very sick. My dad didn't tell us kids. I'm not sure why. Sometimes I think it was because he was in denial and hoped it would go away, but it didn't. My mom ended up having terminal breast cancer and died October 30th, 1970. I took it real bad because I love my mom. My dad wouldn't even let me go to the funeral. I did attend the wake and freaked out and just started running, and I almost ran into a tree. So now my real only connection to God is gone. I thought to myself, if this God that my mom always talked about and thought was so wonderful, then why would he take her from me? I thought if there really was a God, I hated him and I didn't want anything to do with God, church, or anything like it. My dad took it real bad as well. He would get drunk and sleep at my mom's grave. That's when I began to be the caretaker for my younger sister. She was 5. I got her ready for school. I took her to school. I fed her dinner and got her to bed each night. My dad thought I was doing a good job and rewarded me with a beer. Wow. That summer before 7th grade, I started drinking and smoking pot. By my sophomore year in high school, I was doing all drugs: meth, acid, mushrooms, downers, angel dust, and cannabinol. The only thing I didn't try was heroin because I was afraid of needles. Praise God. So that's how it was for me. I had 3 best friends. We were all 13 and 14. We partied together all the time. My friend Kelly was a diabetic. He took insulin ever since I met him. So he was taking insulin 2 times a day at 13, 14 years old. He died at 29. I was the last friend to come and see him at the hospital. He wanted to know if it was okay to pull the plug. He was on dialysis machine and he was tired of living in a hospital with very little chance of getting out. I said I understood and I helped him eat his last steak dinner. He couldn't even use a knife. He was so weak. My friend Mark got out of using drugs at age 20 or so and he's doing pretty well. My third friend Jimmy was a super great guy and very, very mellow. But he did too much of something. I'm not sure what or how much, but he never made it back. The last time I saw him, it was in our old neighborhood, and he had asked me if I wanted him to paint my curb. I was just driving by. I didn't even live there. He didn't even recognize me. So by the grace of God, I'm doing okay. I want to mention a couple bad choices I made because I look back and I see how God was giving me a chance to take a different path for good. And I'm sure that we've all done that and see what a different choice would have given us a completely different outcome. So I've always been a fast runner with a lot of endurance. I was asked to join the track team my freshman year. I was the second fastest freshman out of 1,700 students without even training. The only requirement was cut my hair. Darn it. I said no. Second bad choice. I was already a volunteer fireman and I was given another opportunity. The opportunity was I could have any job I wanted in the forestry department or fire department, but I had to cut my hair. Darn it again. So after my mom dies, my dad remarries this really awesome woman named Julie, who I deeply bonded with and still miss to today. She was my mom for 30 years. I say mom, not stepmom, because she was really like a mom to me. Julie treated me and my sisters and brothers like we were her own. She had a son and when she married my dad, and she loved us as much as her own son. Julie passed away a few years ago from terminal cancer. So now I've lost 2 moms to cancer. I continue on my drug use and heavy drinking. I went to jail a bunch of times, at least 10. I have 3 DUIs. I've been arrested for minor possession of alcohol, drunk in public, assault and battery on a police officer, and on and on. I've crashed many cars, totaling 2 of them. I abandoned them also so that I could escape from the police. This went on for the next 6 years until 1981, and thank God I never killed anyone. In 1981, I got married, and I got my truck driving license. I felt like I had to stop smoking pot and hard drugs because I was having a hard time remembering stuff, but I didn't think coke or meth was a hard drug. Sorry. I felt like I was doing all right over the next 6 years of marriage. I had a good job at Roadway driving truck. I had 2 kids and I had my drugs and alcohol. Then I found out my wife was sleeping with her best friend's husband. That's when I really started partying too much. I would go to the bar until 11 o'clock and then go straight to work. I started needing speed to be able to work. I got divorced in 1989 and this is when I really lost control of the meth. I fought for custody with my kids and lost. I learned to hate my wife, Barbie. She was taking my children from me. By 1991, I got fired from Roadway for using speeds while driving big truck. So for the first time, I tried quit drinking and drugs. I had heard that if you move out of state, you can get 3 months with your children. So I needed a new start anyway, so I moved to Arizona. I had no job and thought I could quit using if I moved away. That lasted 6 months before I started using again. I guess I needed a program. I never did get the 3 months with my children either. So now I'm working odd jobs and driving back and forth to California and to Arizona every weekend, picking up my children in large quantities of drugs at the same time because I'm a dealer. I do this with my 2 kids, Ryan and Jacqueline, in the car with me while I'm high. Again, praise God, I never hurt them or anyone else. I used to pray that my ex-wife Barbie would have a great life and would never ask Jesus to be her Lord and Savior. Wow. On a side note, I actually have a decent relationship with her and I go to most of the family parties. Me and my wife Karina both mostly go to the parties all because of Jesus and forgiveness. I met my second wife at a bar. I moved in with her within 6 months. I got her hooked on speed as well. We were a mess. I had my 2 kids plus her 3 daughters. I'm just going to say where I landed up over the next 9 years, which was selling large quantity of drugs and doing between 100 and 150 hits of speed off my pipe a day. Not only am I a drug dealer and an alcoholic, I'm also addicted to the power and the money. I am fully engaged in my addiction, and I don't do anything a little bit. I'm an extreme in everything I do. So around 1995 or 1996, I don't remember which, I moved back to California permanently. I was fortunate to be hired at Toyota Motor Sales in January of 1997 as a temp and hired full-time in August the same year. However, I'm still in my addiction. What turns things around for me is one day Child Protective Services calls me and asks me if I'm doing drugs, that my stepdaughter said I was selling drugs and doing drugs. I assured them that it was a mistake and that I was neither one of those. A week later, the police showed up at my house and I got arrested for possession and under the influence. I got out of jail in just a few days because I had plenty of cash. I arrive home at my stepdaughter is standing there. That's who she turned me in, is my stepdaughter. I say to her in a harsh manner, "How could you do that to your father? I buy you everything you want. I do everything for you. How could you turn me in?" And as a tear is rolling down her cheek, she says to me, "I thought you were going to die." Flashes of how I felt when my mom died flooded me. I broke down and cried, and I told Ashley, I said, "I will get help." The next day, I called my boss at Toyota and told him I had a drug problem and I needed help. By the end of the day, I was in a program. I had only a few months clean when I had a dream. Stepping back a few seconds here, I'd always have nightmares, and the only way I could go to sleep is with a TV on. But I couldn't get the TV to work that night, and I was afraid that I was going to have bad dreams, and I didn't want to go to sleep. But I fell asleep that night looking at my TV, and above the TV is a picture, and all I remember seeing is this picture. It wound up being it isn't of my mom, but it was my mom getting bigger and smaller, wider and skinnier. And I didn't have a bad dream that night. The next morning, I'm in my garage by myself, and I hear a tap at the garage. It sounded the way my friends used to knock at the door when they wanted to pick up. I said, "Who's there?" And the voice said, "It's Lori." I said, "Lori, I don't sell anymore." She said, "I know. I just came by to see how you were doing." So I had led her in the garage and I told her about my dream. She said, "It was God." I said, "God, I don't believe in that stuff." And she said, "I never told you this before, but I was a Christian and had walked away from God when my husband-to-be left me at the altar." She said she was sure it was God and that I should go to church. She said, "If it's God, you'll stay. If it's not," she goes, "you'll just get up and leave." So I said, "Okay, I will go to church." She said, "Don't tell nobody, just go." I never left. Praise God. I got saved April of 2000 and started attending Celebrate Recovery. My baptism is a little bit funny. The church I was attending was having a super large baptism in the park for Easter. It's actually called Crossroads. And this is just by chance that I found that same name. But they would have, it's a big church. I have no idea about anything when I get saved. So the pastor gives an altar call again, and I feel convicted. I go up there and give my life to Jesus. He gives me a Bible and tells me to read this book of Philippians, then Matthew, Mark, and so on. The next week, the same thing happens, and I feel the need to go up there and give my life to Jesus. Luckily for me, it's the same guy. He says, "Didn't we just do this last week?" I said, "Yes, but I felt like I really needed to be baptized." He explains the church is getting everyone ready for this big baptism in the park in a few weeks on Easter Sunday. I tell him, "Do I have to wait till then?" I said, "I'm ready now." He says, "Well, the water isn't even heated." I said, "Well, how long will I be in the water?" He said, just a few minutes. I said, I'm okay with that. He says, well, I'll go ask the pastor if it's okay. It's a go. So everything's a go. I put on this really nice gown. This is a long time ago, so my hair wasn't gray. I put on this really nice gown. Sorry. And I'm waiting for the pastor. He comes out on the stage. The baptism is back in the back of the stage. And he says, and what beautiful young lady do we have today? Everyone starts laughing. The service has about 1,000 people in it. Everyone starts laughing. He turns to see it's a man, and he comes over to the pool, and he says, I am so sorry. What brings you here today? And I said, luck. He says, no, that's not what I mean. What made you make that decision to give your life to Christ? I said, I have 144 days clean. Praise God. Everyone got up and cheered. And now I know someone needed to hear that day, just like I know someone here needs to hear my story today. That's the way God works. So here goes. So here goes part of me not knowing anything. So I have my Bible in my hand, and I don't have very much money, and I'm supposed to read this book of Philippians, Matthew, and Mark. So I drive down to the church, and I go and I ask the receptionist if they have any used copies of this book of Philippians. I go, I just got saved on Sunday, and I need to buy it. She kindly asks me, is that your Bible? I said, yes, but I need to buy this book of Philippians. She says, well, here, let me show you something. And she opens up the Bible and she shows me that all the books I'm looking for are inside the Bible. And I don't have to buy nothing. I go, wow, how cool is that? That's how little I knew. So things went pretty well for the next 2 years. It was about October of 2002 when my second wife said to me life was boring. And we weren't getting along too well, and our sex life wasn't good either. She said, maybe we should drink once in a while, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, birthdays, and times like that. She said, I was spending too much time in church and too much time in recovery meetings. My mistake was I didn't tell my sponsor, pastor, or anyone. This was the beginning of my relapse. I told my wife, okay, we would drink at Thanksgiving, but I chickened out. But I assured her that we would drink on Christmas. Again, I chickened out. New Year's came, and I told her we would have a great time. We have a timeshare in Palm Springs, and we were going to be on and cracking. Well, we got in a fight, and she went to Palm Springs with the kids, and I stayed home thinking about drinking. I never told anyone about my drinking plans. Another mistake. When she got home, she dropped Ashley off, and she took off. Ashley came in the house crying. I asked her, what's wrong? She said her mom was on her way to her boyfriend's house. I got very angry and proceeded to end my marriage and my recovery. It was time to drink. I took my clean chips out of my pockets, and at the time, I never went anywhere without them. I took off my wedding ring. I removed my Bible, my crosses, and anything that would remind me of marriage, God, or recovery. And I headed to the bar, and I was going to drink. I drank until closing. I don't know how I was able to drink so long without getting sick. I woke up in the morning feeling like, you know what? I told myself I was just going to drink and no drugs, but that was yesterday. Today I feel horrible and I need to fix that. So I went to Lori's house. I guilted her into getting me high. After all, I gave her a bunch for free when she needed it. So for 3 days we partied. But one morning I needed to go to the store. It was 6 a.m. in the morning. Right as I got to the intersection, a friend of mine from Celebrate Recovery showed up. What are the chances? He saw me and he pulled into the gas station where I was. I said, leave me alone. I'm done with God, recovery, and everything else. Just leave me alone. He said, okay, and he left. But he called the pastor of Celebrate Recovery, and droves of friends came by and prayed for me and asked me to please come back. I said, I have nothing. I have no reason to stay clean. I have nowhere to go, and I was done. So I went to see my therapist, and I told her what had happened, and she said, you're right. You have no reason to stay clean except for yourself. She goes, you can make that decision anytime. Would you please stay clean today and come see me tomorrow? I said, okay. So I came by the next day and the same thing. I promised her to stay clean at least for today and I would come see her tomorrow. I told her, I'm a little bit slow, but I'm figuring you out. She was giving me a chance to make a better choice. I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. A couple from Celebrate Recovery named Craig and Shelley took me in and let me live with them for over a year rent-free. So this is my journey. Some ups, some downs. I promise you, you will go through both if you're going to make it. I got involved with a program called Matrix. It taught me a lot about why we can't stop when we want to so bad. After graduating from the program, I became a co-leader with the director of the program, Deborah Service, my therapist, whom I can still call at any time and still do. We all need someone that we can call and we will call when we're in trouble. I've had the privilege of helping many people get clean while helping myself at the same time. One thing I've learned is mooring lines. I've written on my refrigerator 5 things I will always do to make sure I am guaranteed my recovery and 5 things I will never do. Two of the things I live by are giving back and having fun. If you don't have fun, you will feel deprived and you will go back to what you thought was fun. I've gotten very active in my church. I became a leader of Celebrate Recovery. That is where I met my current wife, Karina. Wow, what a difference when you pray for one. When I first started to get clean, they told me if I ran, it would make me feel better. So I started running, and it did make me feel better. I had forgotten how much I loved to run. Because I took up running, I've got the opportunity to race in Japan twice, totally paid for by Toyota, the same company that put me in the recovery program. I've also had the opportunity to go to the World Convention Center for NAs, 30,000 addicts all having clean fun. I've done 2 Ironman competitions, one in Austria and one in Northern California. I've had the privilege of racing in many cool places as a runner, a cyclist, and a triathlete, and now Boston. Most important to me is to make sure that I stay balanced in everything I do. So I make sure that I'm active in recovery and other church activities. I have been to Haiti on a mission trip to help them get clean water and share the gospel. I've been to Mexico to help them to teach them how to improve their life and again share the gospel. And just recently I've been to Malaysia. We are bringing people of Malaysia the school of ministry that we have at our church and of course share the good news. I share all this to show you how important it is for me to stay balanced. I also can remember the only places I could go was your garage, my garage, or a few close bars. I was afraid of everywhere else. Now the whole world is open to me thanks to Jesus and my love for his children. I said there are rough times as well. You already know that I lost 2 moms to cancer. Well, my father took his life with a gun to his head. My daughter, Jacqueline, lost her 2nd child while pregnant. Again, I share this with you to remind you for every reason you can justify a relapse, you can justify not to. My prayer for you is that you do the latter. So here I am in Boston doing my 2 favorite things in life, giving back and having fun. I've been trying to qualify for Boston for 5 years and finally made it. I asked God, what do you want me to do for you to show how grateful I am that you would allow me this dream? He said, nothing, my son. It was my privilege. So here I am. I am living proof that if you want recovery, and I mean really want it, go after it like you did your drug of choice and never go without. So before I close, I would like to share some of my scriptures. I would also like to add a few things. This is an all-in program. First, you must keep coming to Celebrate Recovery on Monday nights. Second, you need to have more than 1 meeting a week. And third, you must get in a commitment. For example, stacking chairs, coffee greeter, anything that makes you show up when you don't want to. And fourth, have 2 sponsors, a human and Jesus. Someone who's working a good program. And fifth, give back and have fun. One of the best ways to give back is to show up and call someone every day or bring someone with you, especially someone who needs a ride. And last of all, please don't leave before the miracle. So again, it's my honor to be able to share with you my story of how God never leaves us or forsakes us. And finally, here are some of my Bible verses. Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brothers and sisters, be joyful because you belong to the Lord. Philippians 3:12-14. I have not yet received all these things, but I am not yet made perfect, but I move on to take hold of what Christ Jesus has hold on for me. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider that I have taken hold of it yet, but there is one thing I do. I forget what is behind me. I push toward the goal that is ahead of me. I move on toward the goal to win the prize. God has appointed to me to win. The heavenly prize is Jesus Christ Himself. Philippians 4 through 9. Always be joyful because you belong to the Lord. Again, be joyful. Let everyone know how gentle you are. The Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, tell God about everything. Ask and pray and give thanks to Him. Then God's peace, which will watch over your hearts and your minds because you belong to Christ Jesus. God's peace can never be completely understood. Finally, brothers and sisters, always think about what is true. Think about what is noble, what is right, and what is pure. Think about what is lovely and worthy of respect. If anything is excellent or worthy of praise, think about those things, those kind of things. Do what you have learned and received from me. Follow my example, and God will give peace, will be with you. Thank you.